You and your dog are a team. Fuel is best in the field and in life with Purina Pro Plan Sport. Made for hardworking dogs of all ages, every sport formula starts with real meat as the number one ingredient and is specifically formulated to support strength and stamina. Try it today and see why Pro Plan is the official dog food of Ducks Unlimited. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Welcome to the Ducks Unlimited podcast, the only podcast about all things waterfowl. From hunting insights to science-based discussions about ducks, geese, and issues affecting waterfowl and wetlands conservation in North America, we bring the resource to you. The DU Podcast with your host, Chris Jennings.
Today I've got John Pullman, Ducks Unlimited Magazine contributor, Ducks.org contributor. Welcome back to the show, John.
Hey, thanks, Chris. It's great to be here.
Hey, John and I have been talking offline a little bit recently, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that John recently wrote a feature for Ducks Unlimited Magazine called Going Mobile, and it's kind of an all-encompassing layout blinds, A-frames, layout boats, just, you know, different ways to hunt mobile. So John, let's kind of give a, you know, an overview of what this whole article was and kind of the angle that you took for approaching to really discuss this massive topic of layout blinds and layout boats and A-frames and different ways that hunters hide.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the idea is by going mobile, you're able to be where the birds want to be. You know, permanent blinds have such an important place in the history of waterfowling, you know, and in you know, these storied traditions, these storied places where these blinds have been against a certain cypress tree for generations, and they've always hunted this one spot. You know, in situations like that, though, you get limited in terms of what, you know, bird movement and things like that. And so being able to be flexible is key, especially when, you know, ducks and geese are on the move and they're switching different fields or they're switching different places on a daily basis. So the idea behind this article was that to be mobile, to be able to follow ducks and geese where they want to be, you need to stay hidden. You know, I mean, step one on anytime you're hunting ducks, if when you find birds, you know, that's the first step. Step two is, can I stay hidden? And, you know, concealment is just that important. And so when using these A-frames or layouts or bolt blinds or whatever it may be, it gives you the opportunity to be exactly where the birds want to be, number one, but two, like I say, stay hidden, stay concealed. And the combination of those two make these types of blinds just so, so important for hunters to have in their toolbox.
Really, that's the key. You mentioned, you know, trying to be where the ducks and geese want to be, but also staying hidden. And this is no secret. I mean, everyone knows you have to find ways to stay hidden. And what's really cool about this is, you know, the layout blind market really, you know, it really hit the ground running probably 20 years ago. And that really changed the way that hunters hid from ducks rather than these old permanent blinds. And I mean, I think you and I both are part of that generation where we saw that transition, but now we're getting into all kinds of new different variations. And you mentioned one, like the A-frame. How are you seeing that A-frame kind of change the way that hunters hunt?
The A-frame itself, that style of blind, you think about it, it's been around for a long time. You know, hunters up in Prairie Canada for years have built these willow blinds out in the middle of the field, you know, cut willow switches from the forest next door to the field, whatever it may be. And they stick those willow branches up right in the field and kind of create a natural A-frame blind. So this idea of that kind of a blind has been around for a long time. Well, what the modern version of these A-frames do is allow you to, create that sort of space. I mean, that's the one thing that an A-frame has over a layout blind or something like that, that it gives you a little bit more room and it allows you to sit upright rather than laying on your back. But these, you know, the current versions of these A-frames are, for the most part, they're pretty lightweight. They're collapsible. You can throw one in the back of a truck. You can take it anywhere. You don't necessarily need a decoy trailer or a trailer, something like that, to haul it around in. You know, like the blind I have, I'm using an Avian X blind. And it literally fits, you know, I can throw it in the back of my truck and go. And so I can fit everything back there. I don't need a trailer, stuff like that. And so these modern A-frames are, they're convenient. And I think that's why they're convenient and they're comfortable. And I think that's why they're gaining so much popularity with hunters. And so, you know, there's a variety of ways to use them, and we can talk about that here. But I think overall, the folks have shifted to that A-frame just because it does. It gives you some elbow room. If you've got young kids or you're taking along people that maybe aren't, that are new to the sport, that, you know, are maybe moving their heads around or they're shifting around, or those things that you know, a veteran hunter may know not to do. When you're in an A-frame blind, it just gives you a little bit of wiggle room, you know. And so that I think that's why they're so popular.
Yeah, I kind of compare them to a box blind or one of the more modern box blinds for deer hunting. I mean, you can get away with so much more movement and you know, like you said, kids fidgeting around, things like that. And the one thing that I really notice, and I think that a lot of people shift to the A-frame blinds or the A-frame styles for, is shooting. And I've spent countless hours in layout blinds. So I'm pretty comfortable shooting from a layout blind, but there's a lot of people who aren't. And shooting from your back, you know, trying to get up, get through the doors, can be difficult for a lot of people. I mean, it really adds a layer of difficulty to the whole shooting. But, you know, another aspect of the layout blind or the A-frame blinds is, like you mentioned, you can roll it up and you can even leave it camouflage, you know, whatever materials you're using. I don't know if that's how you use yours. Do you leave some brush on yours?
Absolutely. So what I've seen a lot of people do, and in this article I spoke with my good friend Ben Fuyan, and he does this as well, is that you put a base layer of cover on these A-frame blinds. And whether it's he has a hard-sided one that he uses, the one that I use is a roll-up version, but whether you zip tie some of that prefab grass or grass mats or any of that stuff that you can go and buy at your favorite sporting goods store, you zip tie a base layer of that to the blind. And then you add whatever natural cover is in your surrounding when you get to the field that day, that morning. And so it just makes it super, super easy to set up, you know, in terms of camouflaging. I mean, that's always one of the longest parts of a morning, is getting your blinds grassed up. And so this, when you're dealing with an A-frame that's bigger, you know, if you're going to try to grass that up every time you took it out, it would take you an hour plus to do that. And so you don't always have that luxury, that time. So what Ben does, and what I do, and what a lot of others do, is just zip tie this cover to it and then add natural vegetation to it to help it blend into the surroundings. And that makes it, and then you when the hunt is over, you can take out that extra stuff that you had shoved in the blind and roll it back up or whatever it may be and throw it back in the truck. You know, the other thing that that I do and that Ben does is have a, you know, Ben, and yeah, I think in the article even says he has a bucket of grass bundles, a big plastic tub of bundles that he keeps in his trailer that then he can use to cover up the top. That's the one, you know, if there's a drawback to an A-frame, is it has that big black hole on the top, you know. And so carrying some stuff around that you can always throw up on top, these grass bundles of, you know, up in South Dakota, we use tumbleweeds a lot because they match the color so well, whatever it may be. Or have a bag of zip ties in your bag, your blind bag, and whoever's with you that morning, tell them to go out and grab whatever it is, grass or corn stalks or whatever kind of cover you're hunting in, and zip tie some together that you can add then to the top to kind of break up that black hole.
Yeah, I've actually done that before, trying to create a top using just whatever's, you know, the local vegetation, and that really makes a difference. But, you know, as these things change and innovative waterfowlers, you know, to kind of take a look at these new products and modify them, you know, Drake Waterfowl just recently came out with one that has a top. It has a little flip top lid on it. So, you know, that's kind of a cool modification that people may want to check out. Just, you know, if you're not interested in spending the time to really brush that top in or cut brush for that, you know, there are options out there. It's just like everything, you know, as one product comes out, you know, somebody changes a little bit and maybe improves it for the better.
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about A-frames, and I think, you know, as more and more hunters get into these A-frames, you know, I'm seeing so many people hunt from them. But, you know, the reality is a lot of times those A-frames are just they create too much of a profile. Now you can get away with it in Canada. You can get, I don't know. I've never hunted in South Dakota. I'm assuming you're getting away with it there in South Dakota in the middle of a field. But I know for a fact, there's lots of scenarios where you're not going to get away with throwing an A-frame out in the middle of a field, especially down here, you know, in the South and mid South where I hunt the majority of time. These birds are pretty smart. You know, one little shadow, one little profile, anything that looks box shaped, you're just not going to get away with it. So that's when we bust out the old trusty layout blinds. And you talk to a couple people who, you know, have spent a bunch of time in layout blinds and, you know, how, and kind of explain how they utilize, you know, the old reliable layout blind.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to go off on too much of a tangent here, but you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast about how, you know, our generation of hunters, I mean, I started hunting ducks 30 years ago and, you know, about 20, 25 years ago, layout blinds kind of hit the market and they absolutely revolutionized hunting for us up here in the prairie. The combination of the layout blind and the motion decoy, to be really honest with you, really revolutionized what we do up here in the prairies. And that's probably a whole nother topic for another podcast. But, you know, the layout blind, when it hit the market, it became so popular because it allowed us to really be anywhere birds wanted to be, in a cornfield that's been chiseled black, you know, on a mud flat, on a slough where, you know, where your hunt ducks or whatever it is, in the snow, in bean stubble, in pea stubble up in Canada, whatever, you could go anywhere. Because it had a low profile, you were completely covered up. You had the straps on the blind, the stuff in the vegetation from around the area, whatever. And so it was a game changer. And I know A-frames have been gaining popularity lately, but the layout still is a main choice for hunters when, like you say, when you don't have that fence line or a slough edge or someplace to break up the outline of that blind, and you need to be low profile. The A-frame is the choice. And so, you know, one of the gentlemen I spoke to in the article is a guy named by the name of Spencer Prue. And Spencer, he's from Connecticut, but the dude hunts really all over the country. And he uses layouts, you know, in a lot of different situations. And so, like I say, it's something that he, no matter the situation, no matter what kind of field he's in, it provides you an option for concealment. You know, the one thing, though, that Spencer points out is that the fabric on these layout blinds is something that will have a little bit of a natural shine to it. And so one of the first things that he does, you know, I've done it with just some flat black spray paint. Sometimes you'll just mix up a 5-gallon bucket of some water and some dirt and create some mud. But you need to take the shine off of those blinds so that it gets rid of that sheen appearance, you know, and so that then when you go to the field and you're adding corn stubble or wheat stubble or whatever it is, it's got more of a natural look underneath. But, you know, he really uses them. He uses them everywhere. And the versatility, again, is what makes them so popular.
Yeah. And I had a place a few years back where I'd hunt in Mississippi and we'd get a new layout blind and I'd basically tie it to the back of my four-wheeler and drag it around in the mud, and that gumbo mud would stick to it. And I was like, all right, there we go. But that's one thing to remind people, you know, and really, you know, I recommend doing that with A-frames as well.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, everyone should really pay close attention to that. I mean, that's, you know, one little flash off of some of that fabric and it's game over for most ducks. But, you know, I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago with Alps Outdoors, and they have a new layout blind, the Gravity, that really breaks. It's a new approach to layout blinds where there's no real edges to it. Mm-hmm. So it really cuts out even the profile of that layout blind. It cuts down on shadows, things like that. And one thing that he was kind of talking about in their approach with the redesign is they are, rather than have the A-frame, you know, he's pushing this layout blind as part of an option. He's like, hey man, if you can hide in an A-frame or build a temporary blind on an area where he specifically hunts, like on the edges of rivers and sandbars and things like that, he's like, if you think you can get away with an A-frame there, he's like, think about how well you will be hidden in a layout blind. He's like, it is, you know, night and day, you know, once you cut that down, as long as you're comfortable shooting from it, things like that. Is that something that you kind of approach when you're hunting up there and, you know, in the prairies where you're like, man, I can get my A-frame right here. And then you're like, oh, but we can really get hidden using a layout. Is that something that you kind of think about?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, there are times where you just simply don't have a choice. I mean, like we mentioned before, but yeah, the layout blind, the one thing that it does do is that it may be able to get you closer to the X than an X than an A-frame will. You know, where A-frames are, again, you want it, you're using the fence line or a slew edge or something that you can use to break up the outline of that. But let's say that there's a sliver of cover that's half as tall, you know, 50 yards closer to the X where those birds want to be. And that's where, obviously, that's where the layout blind becomes really important. In all of those cases, you want to try to use some sort of natural feature in that field to still break up that outline, even, you know, of the layout, whether it's taller corn stubble or a place where maybe a combine, where the combine lifted up a little bit and that stubble is a little bit taller, even a depression in the field so that your layout will lay down perhaps a little bit lower. Any of those places where you can even further minimize the outline of that blind. You know, one of the things too that Spencer talked about in the article is when layouts first kind of hit the market, the idea was to get them spread out four or five, you know, maybe five to 10 yards apart from each other. But more and more lately, hunters are stacking them shoulder to shoulder with one another to almost create the perception of a little natural rise in the field. Having them, you know, super grassed out or stubble or whatever that you're using, you know, but almost put them, like I say, shoulder to shoulder to kind of create this image, this picture of a little natural rise or a little, a section of taller stubble or whatever in the field. And so it's, you know, they are popular because they work really well. And, you know, when you take those a few extra steps then to further conceal them, they become that much more effective.
You know, that's a good point. I've hunted with a lot of people who, and to be honest, even in a layout blind, it's hard to hide 5, 6, 7, 8 hunters. You know, some people are hunting in these larger groups and is really hard to hide, even, you know, even then. But if you stack them all together, the likelihood of creating, you know, these shadows or whatever, you know, really you give the perception that there's actually a small little hill or rise or, you know, like you said, tall stubble. That's a really good approach. You know, and also, one thing kind of to note, and I'm sure that, you know, throughout your discussions with some of these guys, you know, one person that I talked to a couple of weeks ago about hunting from layout blinds and trying to avoid shadows, you know, one tip that he kind of threw out there, he's like, what we've done is we've taken the approach of at any cost to make sure that the blinds are well hidden. And that's even at the sacrifice of the angle of the shot. So maybe you, when you're setting up, you know, you want those birds' feet down right in your face. You know, everyone wants that. But what he's saying is, hey, you know, if the sun is shining at an angle and casting a shadow, either on an A-frame or a layout blind or whatever, he's approaching this as, let's get hidden first, and then we'll worry about taking the shot. Even if the shot may be like over the shoulder or, you know, it's not the my most ideal situation, you know, as long as you're set up in a safe manner to make sure that, and also make sure that you're hidden, you know, take that approach first with your layout blind. I think that's a good point, and it kind of goes into what you're saying with, you know, hiding multiple hunters together.
Absolutely. You know, that's the beauty of being mobile. You can put that blind anywhere, you know, and it's, there are more times than not, the, you know, the wind and the sun are the two big factors when you're trying to set up your decoys in the morning. And, you know, you are, you want that wind at your back if you can, but there are a lot of times where wind at your back puts the sun right in your face here, you know, when we hunt in South Dakota. And so we'll scoot those blinds over to the side. And so to create more of a crossing shot. It's also a great way when the hide isn't great. You know, maybe you're hunting some winter wheat or you're hunting a field that's been chiseled and so it's black and there's just not a lot of natural cover in it. By moving those blinds to the side, keeping whatever motion you're using out in front of you, but away from the blinds and not necessarily right in front of it, you get the birds to put their attention on that motion on the decoys, and your blinds are a little bit are kind of on the periphery. And so it's again, if you've got a lot of hunters to hide, or there's just not a lot of natural cover available, or if it keeps the sun out of your eyes, move those blinds to the side, get them out of the pocket, so to speak, at the top of, you know, at the end of the spread. And yeah, that's something we do all the time. Again, just because it, you want to use the sun and the wind to your advantage as much as possible. And if you can put the sun more in the duck's eyes or the geese eyes rather than in yours, that's a good thing. So absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it's like I say, it's the mobility of these things makes them so effective.
Yeah. And you know, and that's one thing I kind of wanted you to talk about as well is, you know, Spencer made a very good point, and this is something that you have to remind myself many times, is that if you can see the birds, they can see you. And his quote was that the headrest in that layout blind is that it's a headrest.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I've hunted out of layouts enough to know that you'll look across you can peek out a little bit and you'll see, you know, that you have five blinds out and three of the guys have their heads down and you've got two that are sticking straight up in the air and they stick out, you know, like a sore thumb. And so you do it. It's one of the drawbacks to an A-frame in terms of visibility, your ability to be able to see the birds. But it's if you can get your head down below that profile of the blind, it just makes it so much better, and it gives the birds one less thing to pick out. And you know, when your head is up above the blind, you're probably twisting and turning, and you're looking to try to follow their movement, whatever it is. And so, I mean, I know a buddy of mine he'd be rolling around in his blind. He'd be down below, but in order to keep his eyes on the birds, I mean, he'd be upside down. He'd be looking whatever, just because he was, you know, he was calling and wanted to watch their reaction, whatever. But you got to stay down below the profile of that blind. Otherwise it's, you may as well just be laying out there without anything on at all, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of a funny after, you know, fact to that is, you know, we're so conscious of, you know, heads poking out and people looking at birds. But I've had so many scenarios where, you know, we think birds are flaring off these layout blinds and we're kind of, you know, smashing our heads together, trying to figure out what's going on. And somebody will get out to move the decoys or something and the blinds will be completely open and we'll have a flock come right in. It's like, oh man,
that's not it.
They didn't flare off it at all. Like, yeah. Like, what are we thinking? You know, it's just one of those scenarios.
You and your dog are a team. Fuel is best in the field and in life with Purina Pro Plan Sport. Made for hardworking dogs of all ages, every sport formula starts with real meat as the number one ingredient and is specifically formulated to support strength and stamina. Try it today and see why Pro Plan is the official dog food of Ducks Unlimited. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
That always seems to happen. Well, you know, let's move on here because, you know, we've still got a lot to cover with all these concealment options. And the next one on the list is layout boats. And I'm a big fan of layout boats. You know, you talk to some people who are some real expert hunters as far as using these and the correct way to use them. But, you know, kind of describe, you know, the guy that you talk to and how he uses these really unique layout boat options.
Sure. Josh Ditch out of Missouri. He's a staff with Mo-Marsh boats and the Mo-Marsh boats, you know, that style of boat is this shallow draft. It's not a layout boat like you would do for divers on the Great Lakes or something like that, but it literally is a floating layout blind. I mean, that's really what it is. It takes only a few inches of water to float and you can put that style of boat anywhere. You know, they've become really popular in those mid latitude states, you know, Kansas, Missouri, places that that do a lot of moist soil hunting, just because of the type of cover that hunters are in. And again, it's one of those things where there's not a lot of vertical cover maybe in those areas, you know, so the idea of a taller, a bigger blind just doesn't work out well. But these blinds that you know, this layout style boat that is literally, you know, 7-8 inches above the water. It has doors on it like a layout blind does. You know, they have the ability to grass them up just like you would a layout blind. That's, you know, that's what the kind of hunting that Josh does. And so it allows you to be wherever the birds want to be. And then if you add whether it's a long tail motor or some other sort of motor on the back of it to get you to where you want to be, you can go anywhere, you know, especially on these big areas of, you know, public hunting areas where a lot of this hunting takes place. It's just, again, it's another popular option just because of its versatility and its mobility and its, you know, the ability of it to keep you hidden.
Yeah. And those things can be lethal. I mean, I know some of the guys that hunt some of the public land up in Missouri, some of those large conservation areas, and man, those things are just lethal. They'll put mallards at their feet. I mean, it is fantastic option.
Yeah.
I actually hunt from a layout boat or layout blind slash boat. It's not really a boat. And Drake used to make these, they were called Drake boats. And they're just little, almost like little coffin blinds. And I picked a couple of them up, I don't know, 10 years ago. And they had doors on them and, you know, we could brush them up. I mean, you could make those things disappear in a rice field. And they were just so lethal. But, you know, the issue with those was they weren't like these bigger, larger Mo-Marsh boats where you could put a motor on them or something. These were more or less, it was almost like just a layout blind that floated. And it created, you know, so many weird situations. They were tough to shoot out of. They were terribly uncomfortable. But man, if you got on the birds with them, they were in your face. And I had some of the greatest visuals I've ever had is hunting from a layout boat like that. And it's just a fantastic way to do it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's so much of these options, you know, we talked about today with whether it's bull blinds or A-frames or whatever, you know, they have hit the market and they become popular hunters because of not a necessity, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, birds have learned to avoid big, you know, big blinds standing out in the middle of whatever. They've learned to avoid, you know, hunters wrapped up in burlap or something, the decoys, whatever it is. And you know, these layout style boats are just another example of it, where you get on these areas of public hunting, and whether it's flooded corn or moist soil or whatever it is, and they get pressured. And all of a sudden, you know, that food resource is there. They want to still take advantage of that food resource, but they know where to avoid hunters. But what, you know, what this Mo-Marsh boat does, or, you know, a similar style, it allows you to follow those birds. When they start going, hitting the center of that public hunting area that is inaccessible by foot, or it would sure as heck be a long walk by foot. You know, when you add a motor onto the back of it, it allows you to access them where they feel safe and where they, you know, where they want to be. And so it's, you know, it's like I say, necessity has driven a lot of this innovation when it comes to concealment for waterfowl hunters. And, you know, we are blessed to have so many great options these days.
Absolutely. You know, in the next subject is one that is literally endless options and endless adjustments and endless, you know, different innovative ways that hunters hide their boats. And when I say boats, I'm not referring to like the Mo-Marsh style boats. I'm referring to like a big duck boat that would be, you know, 14 to 20 feet, you know, some of them are even bigger, that, you know, guys are putting these blinds on there and then kind of doing their own thing. And I had recently sold my boat, but when I've had a boat since I was 16 that I duck hunted out of. But you know, one thing that I really enjoyed doing was in the preseason, it was like, all right, we're going to go out and we're going to basically brush the blind and mount the blind to the boat. And it was like this big thing. And really my father and I used to do it together. And we got to the point where we kind of enjoyed, you know, I know I did, and I know he did, that we kind of enjoyed that innovative process where we could kind of be creative, like, oh, you know, let's put grass on this side this year. Let's, you know, let's do this. But kind of talk about some of the different ways that people, you know, are hiding these big boats these days.
Up here in where I live in South Dakota, you know, we don't have these, like I mentioned before, these permanent blinds that get passed down through generations, you know, where, mm-hmm. where you've hunted out of that same blind for years. But what the closest I have felt to that, Chris, is, I don't have one myself, but I've hunted out of enough of them to kind of get a sense of it, is that, you know, you've got these guys that, these hunters with these boats that are 18, 20 feet long, maybe even more, where you get that same kind of sense of camaraderie inside. It's you've got the a cook stove inside, you've got a heater inside, you've got lights inside, yeah. You've got a comfortable place to sit, and it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of our version of the permanent blinds down south. And so it's, you know, with these bigger spaces, again, it's just more comfortable and stuff like that. And so that's, you know, that's kind of one thing I wanted to say. But when you got a boat that big, obviously it's a lot harder to hide. And so one of the, at least here in South Dakota, we use them quite a bit on the Missouri River. They get used to on any of the larger lakes and stuff. But one of the things, it goes back to kind of this, something we've already talked about today, is adding this base layer of cover on top of this, onto the blind, and whether yep. that is fast grass mats or whatever it is. And then adding some natural cover from the area. And I mentioned it before, but in South Dakota, a lot of guys use tumbleweeds, or kochia, or these weeds that have this kind of this brownish hue that match so much of the cover that we're hunting in, and they're durable, and they've got some rigidity to them, so you can zip tie them to the blind and they'll stay there when you're motoring down the road at, you know, 75, 80 miles an hour, whatever it is. And so that again is putting on that base layer. There's something you can do before the season starts, like you mentioned, and then add some natural cover. And then, just like we mentioned with the A-frames, having some bundles and stuff that you can put up above on the top. And so it's something where you have to put in the effort to get these bigger boats concealed. But then once you've got it concealed, the sky's the limit in terms of what you can do, especially on these bigger bodies of water. And like you mentioned, so many guys, you know, hunters are customizing them, you know, whether it's a dog ramp or a dog box on the outside, or like I mentioned, cook stoves or lights, or putting the steering wheel for the boat up in the front, so you've got visibility when you're motoring through the on the river, through the, whether it's tree stumps or whatever it may be, where you need to keep an eye out for things. There are an infinite number of variations that can be made to these boats, and people love to hunt out of them. People love to design them, and for a lot of different reasons, but mainly because they're comfortable and they work.
One of the first hunts that I ever went on, one of my dad's friends had taken me to a big body of water there in Indiana, and it was kind of more of a overwater goose hunt, which was cool. But his blind was basically like PVC pipe built up on like a big wall in the back. It was almost constructed like a big permanent blind, like you were mentioning. And what he used was just a big tarp in the back, and then just like grabbed a bunch of natural grasses around there, and we'd try and cover it up. But I remember that I was probably 13, 14 years old, and you know, looking at this thing like, what is this? Like, what are we even going to do with this? But you know, another thing that dawned on me, you know, while you were talking about it, and when I moved down south, I, you know, guys are like, oh, you know, here, this is my duck boat. And I'm like, well, there's no blind on it. Like, how can it be a duck boat? But see, down here, most of these guys don't hunt from the blinds. They're getting out of the boats. So that was kind of a change for me. But, you know, it dawned on me, I don't know, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, we were hunting the White River, and we had done pretty well for a couple of days, and the river had gone up even more. And these guys that I was hunting with, they're like, oh, you know, we can't go back in there. You know, the water's too deep. And I'm like, see, this is a good reason to put a blind on your boat, you know, because if you get in there and the water's 5 feet deep or 6 feet deep, you can sit in the boat and shoot. And these guys are just like, you know, they've grown up their entire lives, you know, walking through the woods, and they're like, what are you talking about? And it was kind of a funny little moment where I'm like, you need to put a blind on your boat.
Exactly. I guarantee they don't. Yeah, we see some of that here in South Dakota where, you know, you'll have a boat just to, you know, for getting from point A to point B, and then you'll throw out layouts on a blind or on the shore or an A-frame on the shore. And so we do a little bit of that here. And part of the reason is that, you know, if you've got a permanent blind on your boat, it's a duck boat. It's not a fishing boat. It's a duck boat. And, you know, we can only use them so much throughout the year. But yeah, no, that's something I've noticed too, you know, down south, that a duck boat doesn't look quite the same as one up here in South Dakota.
Yeah, now it's a cool kind of a cultural, you know, difference of opinion, I should say. But, you know, and that's the cool thing about these, you know, as the technology changes and these companies are coming out with different ways. I mean, there's so many options that you can put a temporary blind on. You can build your own. You know, some of these have flip tops and mechanical, you know, doors and all kinds of cool stuff. But, you know, one thing that I haven't talked about, and it was mentioned in your article a little bit, but blinds for your dogs. How, you know, I know you hunt with a dog, so how do you implement that?
Sure. You know, the kind of the common theme throughout all of throughout the A-frames and the layouts and the boat blinds and the people that I've talked to and just what I've experienced myself is that a dog needs his own blind. And, you know, I mean, I remember in the early days of layouts, guys tried to have their dogs inside their blinds with them, and it just, you know, maybe some people still do, but from a safety standpoint and from a marking standpoint, it's just not your best option. And so, you know, when we're hunting out of layout blinds, You know, I will, it depends on the cover. I will often keep, you know, my dog's blind right next to mine, just like I would shoulder to shoulder with another layout blind, just to kind of help break up that profile a little bit and kind of create the perception of a little bit of a mound, a natural cover. The A-frame, I know it's tempting to me because you've got space in there to let a dog, you know, be inside the blind, but it's really, when it comes to safety with shotguns leaning up against the blind and stuff like that, we keep dogs out of the A-frames for safety reasons and again for marking, because it seems like even if there's a dog door on the bottom, it just still is a little bit tougher for them to see. Yeah. And that same idea then goes for a bolt blind. You've got heaters inside, you've got guns inside, you've got maybe a cook stove inside. Adding a dog to that can be a recipe for disaster. And so a lot of boat blinds, or these custom boats that are designed by duck hunters, have a dog box on the outside for that reason. When I used to have an old Outlaw duck boat, and I created a little kind of a little box in the outside of mine too. It wasn't anything that was prefab. It was something I had to do myself, but just again, to keep them safe, to keep the hunters safe, and to give them a good chance of marking birds in the water. So it's as much as tempting as it is to have them in the inside there with you, and it's best to have them on the outside in their own spot.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, that's a safety issue, and you know, that's a good point to bring up. There's too much going on inside a blind like that, especially a boat blind. It's always good to have their own little separate boat or blind box on the side, something like that. And I think in reality, at least from my experience, the dog prefers that anyway. You know, they don't want to be bothered. They're content with what they're doing. But I do the same thing with layout blinds. You know, when we're, you know, there's so many different cool options out there to get a small little blind for your dog when you're in a layout blind, and you know, the dog can sit off to one side or even behind you. And those blinds, the capabilities to brush those out and really blend those in and make that dog hide disappear are very similar to, you know, what we have as far as layout blinds and A-frames and things like that. So that's always a good recommendation.
Yeah, but we treat those, well, I treat my dog blind, and buddies do the same thing, just like we do our regular A-frame or layouts, where we're going to get the sheen off of that fabric, and we'll mud it up, and we'll make sure that there's a base layer on top of it. You know, especially the dog blind, you can probably just leave it as is, almost, you know, add a few corn stalks here and there when you get out to the field, whatever it is, but it just makes it so much faster. And they, I know my dog and the dogs I've had out of them, they like them. They recognize what it means right away. They know that when they're in that blind, that good things are going to happen. And, you know, we use it as a training tool out in the yard and whatnot. And so, you know, it's his spot, and that's where he likes to be when it comes time for the hunt.
Yeah, I know. When I first got mine for my dog, you know, years and years ago, this is my old dog, when this 10 years ago when she was a puppy, you know, that was how we started some of the training, was I'd have her in those blinds and getting comfortable and familiarizing with that. And I've talked with, you know, dog trainers about that even on the podcast, but I would put that thing away and it'd be like in the garage, like propped up against something. And like, I'd turn around and she'd be trying to climb inside of that thing as it's sideways. You know, it gave her the comfort and the familiarity that we would take it from the grass or from the front yard to the blind. And even if she'd never been to a blind, you know, like that, she was familiar with her blind, and I could just put her in there. And that was that really made her more comfortable with the hunt.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, John, this has been great. You know, we've ran through all the different variations of, not all the different, but several different variations of concealment for hunters and blinds and layout blinds, A-frames, boat blinds, dog blinds. We could probably talk on these for like 6 hours, but we'll go ahead and cut it now. But I appreciate you joining me here, and this has been a great conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. As always, I appreciate being on with you.
I'd like to thank my guest, John Pullman, Ducks Unlimited magazine contributor, for joining us today to talk about layout blinds and boat blinds and dog blinds. I'd also like to thank our producer, Clay Baird, for doing a great job. And I'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us and supporting Wetlands Conservation.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the DU Podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit www.ducks.org/DU Podcast for resources based on today's topics, as well as access to more episodes. Opinions expressed by guests do not necessarily reflect those of Ducks Unlimited. Until next time, stay tuned to the ducks.
You and your dog are a team. Fuel is best in the field and in life with Purina Pro Plan Sport. Made for hardworking dogs of all ages, every sport formula starts with real meat as the number one ingredient and is specifically formulated to support strength and stamina. Try it today and see why Pro Plan is the official dog food of Ducks Unlimited. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.